Good to have you here on KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. About a million people are heading to Oregon next month in hopes of witnessing a total solar eclipse. The last time we saw a total solar eclipse in this region was 1979. The one next month is going to be visible from Oregon to South Carolina, but not here in Seattle. Now, the sun will be about 90% covered up here, which sounds great, right? 90%. But our next guest, former NPR and PRI reporter David Barron, says, people of Washington State, a partial show is not good enough.
It will not go dark here, but if you use proper eye protection, get yourself some eclipse glasses that have really, really dark lenses, much darker than sunglasses, you will see the sun turn into a thin crescent. And in fact, one thing that'll be a lot of fun to do is go out under trees and look at the shadows of leaves, and you'll see where the light dapples the ground, you'll see little crescents everywhere, which will be images of the crescent sun.
Oh.
So it will be very interesting in Seattle.
However, not good enough for you.
The difference between a 90% partial eclipse and a total eclipse is fundamental. A 90% partial eclipse isn't 90% as good. It's not 10% as good. It's not 1/100% as good. And I'm serious about that. During a total eclipse, daylight drops by a factor of a million. It will drop by a factor of 10 in Seattle. That's
wow.
The difference.
Wow. That is, yeah, that's a misleading number.
Yeah.
A misleading statistic exploded on KOW. Thank you for that. You sound like you've got a sense of mission about telling people about this.
People say that. I do sometimes refer to myself as an eclipse evangelist.
Yeah.
So I saw my first total eclipse in 1998, and it was truly a life-changing experience. And I truly believe that everyone in his or her lifetime should see a total eclipse. And until you see one, you just can't understand why it's so exciting. You need to be pushed. And boy, you don't have to be pushed very far this year. You just have to get south to Oregon or out to Idaho, and you can be in that path of totality and experience something truly remarkable.
I know you're saying you can't put it into words, but can you try? Help me. I mean, I've seen night fall several times. I've seen the amount of light drop precipitously. Help me get what's so life-changing about a total eclipse.
Right. Absolutely. So until I saw my first total eclipse, I thought, well, what's the big deal? It gets dark. Okay, right. It gets dark at night.
Yeah.
The thing about a total eclipse that makes it so paradoxical is it's not what's hidden. It's what's revealed. So any day you go outside, beautiful day today, the blue sky is out. The stars are up there. The planets are up there. You just can't see them because the blue sky is a curtain. It keeps us from seeing what's up there.
Mm-hmm.
During a total eclipse, the blue sky gets ripped away, and you can actually look up toward the center of the solar system, see the planets and the sun together. And again, the great paradox is it's only when the sun is hidden that you actually can see the sun. Because when the moon covers the bright surface of the sun, that's the only time you can look at the sun with the naked eye. And you will see what surrounds the sun, which is called the solar corona. It's the sun's atmosphere. And it is the most beautiful thing you have ever seen in the sky. It looks like a wreath of tinsel that just shimmers in outer space. It's like you've suddenly been transported to another planet and you're looking at a sky you've never seen before.
So it's almost like being in space in that you can't. You're pointing at me,
yes,
like, yeah,
absolutely,
like, because you have this view for the first time.
So what the
I guess we are in space.
That's the thing. It it puts everything in perspective. The view I had from Aruba in 1998. That's exactly how I felt because I realized I was looking at the sun and the planets together. It's like I had left the solar system and was looking back at the middle of everything. Like a textbook diagram from high school of the solar system. But there it was right in front of me, and it just connected me with the universe in a very deep and, I dare say, spiritual way.
I'm talking with David Barron, former NPR and PRI reporter. And, David, you just have written this book called The American Eclipse about the total eclipse of 1878. What was so special about that one?
Right. So 1878... the path of the total eclipse went right down the American frontier, Montana territory to Texas. This was the Wild West. And the moon's shadow came to that part of the country at a time when astronomers were very keen to observe total eclipses. Astronomers were just starting to unravel the mysteries of the sun, and there were certain studies they could only do during a total eclipse. And here was a chance for these scientists from the East and from Europe to come out to the Wild West to study the eclipsed sun.
So was there an astronomy boom coming out of that eclipse?
Well, there was a lot that came out of it. I would say, first of all, just the individuals who came west, it was important for several of them. One of them, the one who everyone knows, but probably didn't know was in the west for a total eclipse, and that was Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, 31 years old in 1878, went to Wyoming to study the eclipsed sun right after he invented the phonograph and right before he invented the light bulb.
And did that give him the idea, hey, the sun went out and the sun came back on again?
Actually, in Wyoming, some people say that. They say that Edison had a flash of inspiration for the light bulb. That is not quite true. However, his eclipse expedition, in some subtle ways, really did help him with the light bulb later on. Other remarkable scientists came out west. Mariah Mitchell, the by far the most famous female scientist in America, put together an all-female eclipse expedition from Vassar College to Denver, Colorado in 1878. But speaking more broadly, it was a really important event for our nation. This was a time when the United States was not taken seriously on the global stage when it came to science, and we were trying to prove ourselves. And this was a national event that the people rallied around and funded the scientists to come west, and it was a chance for America to take on Europe and show that we were equal to them when it came to science. And it did help inspire what a few decades later would be America's rise to preeminence on the global stage in science.
So it gave America something to rally around together in 1878?
Yes, and listen to this. It was a time when America was very divided over our newly elected president, a Republican, Rutherford B. Hayes, who won the electoral vote but lost the popular vote.
Is that right?
And Congress was holding hearings into voter fraud that summer. The Democrats were calling Hayes his fraudulency. So I will just say that America was bitterly divided that summer over politics and came together around an eclipse. And it will be really interesting to see what happens this year.
Democrats and Republicans unified in awe of the heavens.
You say it in jest, but actually I think it's true.
You've seen 5 total eclipses, David. How much do you have to travel to pull that off?
Well, usually you have to travel a lot. So any given point on Earth will see a total eclipse only about once every 400 years, which means that for most of us, if you want to see even one in your lifetime, you have to travel. However, if you are willing to travel, you can see quite a few, because about every 18 months, one will occur somewhere on the planet. Now, that somewhere is often very inconvenient. It may be the middle of the Pacific or Antarctica or over equatorial Africa. But you can, if you want to find yourself in that path of totality, you can go do it. So last year, I was in Indonesia. The year before that, I was in the Faroe Islands up in the North Atlantic. A few years before that, I was in Australia. This year, it's coming to our own country.
You're an eclipse chaser.
I am.
And this time, you don't have to go. The rest of us can just kind of just kick back and put out very little effort.
Well,
except we got to get, we all have to crowd into the same swath of America.
Right. So August 21st will be a really, really crazy day. I mean, I've heard some people describe it, and I think this is quite accurate. It may well be the biggest one-day mass migration of humanity ever. About half the population of the United States, about 150 million people, live within a reasonable day's drive of the path of totality. We don't know how many people will make the drive. Millions will, and millions should. So it's going to be crazy. Anyone who goes to the path of totality should be prepared to have a full gas tank and have a car full of food and water and expect your cell phone might not work because the towers are going to be overwhelmed. Get there as early as you can. Stay for a while. Wait before you leave. Expect it to be crazy. But if there's anything that's worth putting up with that kind of craziness, it's a total eclipse.
Where are you going to be?
I'll be in Jackson, Wyoming. So I live in Colorado. For me, Wyoming is the closest state to get to for the path of totality. And I'm going to Jackson because Jackson's up in the Tetons and is just a darn pretty place.
Yes, it is. And so how long ago did you have to make your reservation to be there at total eclipse time?
Well, I made my reservation 3 years ago, and that hotel actually within a few months was sold out. Jackson, there's nothing left unless you're willing to pay $1,000 a night or something like that, and that's pretty much true in all of Wyoming, and I dare say in the Path of Totality in Oregon and Idaho as well. That said, people are opening up their homes, not just on Airbnb, but if you check some of the websites of the local tourism boards of communities in the Path of Totality. People have listed that you can pitch a tent in their yard for $50 and use their bathrooms, that sort of thing. Churches are opening up their parking lots for RVs and vans, and you can use the bathrooms there. So there's a real community spirit of making sure those who want to come can be accommodated.
Okay. So ideally, you and I would have talked, had this conversation 3 years ago on KUOW, but it's doable.
It is... You know, anyone who's making plans now, you have to admit you're late, but you're not too late. And even though it will be more difficult and it might be expensive, but it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, if you're willing to stay with a friend or stay in a private home or get up really early and drive all night to get there at 8 a.m. and be ready for it, if there were ever a day to sacrifice some of your personal comfort and maybe spend a little more money than you usually would for something that lasts 2 minutes, this is the time.
Better than the 4th of July.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And the 4th of July comes every year. This happens much. This is the first time in 99 years a total eclipse will cross the country coast to coast. And it's the first time in 38 years we've had any in this country. The last one was, in fact, in Oregon and Washington. But 38 years, that's a pretty long time, too.
David Barron is a former NPR science reporter. His book is called American Eclipse, about the total eclipse of 1878. Now, if you just heard that and are thinking, that's it. I got to get there. I need to get to the Path of Totality. Except you didn't book your hotel 3 years ago? There is hope. In Madras, Oregon, a town with a population of 6,200 people, from Seattle, it's about 5.5 hours down I-90, roughly to the middle of Oregon. Madras is expecting about 100,000 people to descend by August 21st to watch that total eclipse. And they've still got some campsites available. The person tasked with spearheading the planning and the preparation for Madras, Oregon, is Lisa Vitimo, also known as the Solar Eclipse Lady down there. Lisa, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
I just want to restate this. Madras has a population of about 6,000. You are expecting 100,000 people will come to watch the total eclipse next month. Are you sure you want our listeners to know there are still campsites available in your town?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, a few more. Are we going to know the difference, really?
Right. Good point. Do you want more people to descend on Madras?
Well, it's not really a matter of want. They're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
We have been touted as one of the premier locations for viewing this wondrous event. And so we have made effort to make this a safe and enjoyable experience for them. So we have, like you said, quite a few more campsites still available if people want to bring a tent or if they're interested in all-inclusive glamping. We've got something for everybody, and there is still room available. So while we have the room, and we've planned for that amount of people, we will welcome them.
Including all-inclusive glamping. Excellent. You know, I want to know, when, Lisa, did the town of Madras start to figure out this eclipse thing is a big deal?
Well, our mayor got a phone call probably 3 years ago, and he tried to convince the chamber and a few others that something big was going to happen, but I think it took another year to get us all on board, and that was probably when one of our larger hotels in town got completely booked out by a tour group. And then we started getting some interesting phone calls from astronomers around the United States, letting us know that we were touted as one of the premier locations for viewing this event. And that's when we really started paying attention and thought, uh-oh, there might be a lot of people who are going to come. So that was about the time we started bringing all of the entities that we felt would be affected by this, all the way from the federal level down through state, county, city levels, and brought them to the table and started talking about what it was going to take to put on an event or accommodate the people who were coming for this event and make it a safe and enjoyable event.
Well, that's just it. You're not just accommodating. You are throwing a festival, right? Or a group in town is?
Yeah. The festivals that are in town are actually being run by private sector. And we have one that's kind of the music science mix that's more the fun beer garden, jumpy houses for kids and lots of bands and that kind of thing going on over the weekend. They'll be held at our fairgrounds. And then we have, on the other side of town, we have Lowell Observatory coming in from Flagstaff, bringing a cadre of scientists and astronomers with them, and they'll be partnering with the Science Channel, who will be streaming the eclipse live for those people who couldn't make it into the path of totality.
Were you listening to my conversation just a moment ago with that reporter talking about how life-changing the eclipse is? I mean, are you feeling that, or are you just swimming to try to do the accommodating?
Well, I did listen to David as your previous guest, and I was glad he was on before me because he has all the science, and I share his wonder in this. And so there are days where I feel like, uh-oh, it's coming, and it feels like a big wave. But most days I'm feeling like I feel so blessed, as does much of our community, that really we just have to walk out our back doors and look up in the sky and enjoy this spectacular event that's coming. I myself have not seen a total solar eclipse. So in all my talking with people that call in from all over the world who chase these things and tell me how spectacular they are, it's something that I'm really looking forward to.
How do the people of Madras in general, your friends and neighbors, how are they feeling about this mass visitation coming?
So the majority of the people are looking forward to it. This brings about tremendous economic opportunities for our community. And so lots of businesses have started up. Some of them have spruced up their buildings. Some are expanding. So they recognize what benefits come with all these people coming to visit. And they are excited about the scientific side of it. And it has really started up some great things in our education system and with the kids and the partnerships with the scientists from both NASA and Lowell Observatory. And they've been coming in over the last few months and working with the kids in the schools on different science projects, not just solar eclipse, but that has sparked the interest. And so I think the community is really excited about it. Of course, there are always a few that say, I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, so we say, well, that's a splendid idea then, because we want people to feel welcome. We want our visitors to feel welcome. So the people who are staying and enjoying it, they're excited, and
wow,
we're excited with them.
There's a total solar eclipse coming to my town, and I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
I know. I don't understand that, but
you know, for some of our listeners who might be visiting you, I just want to point out kind of a wrinkle to this. Just imagine the crush of people, and in fact, this is happening during wildfire season, which is a factor in Madras as well.
Certainly. That is a challenge for us. We are concerned. We, of course, have been planning for 2 years, so we have mutual aid from other agencies. We are staging apparatus all around the area. Our campgrounds that have popped up in town are run by a lot of the farmers in the area, and so they've mowed down their fields. There's a lot of interaction amongst all of us in trying to prepare and do fire breaks, et cetera, to prepare for visitors coming in. We're doing a lot of forward messaging and trying to get the word out. We've also created day tripper parking lots that open up Sunday night because we're trying to get everybody off of the highways before this event actually starts to occur on Monday morning, because we don't want people to pull off on the side of the highways into dry, grassy areas and possibly spark fires unintentionally. But it is a concern for us, but it's a concern for us every summer. So we prepare every summer for this. Yes, there will be more people, but we're hoping with extended media coverage and that we can get them to be a little more careful.
What a lot on Lisa Vitimo's mind, being called the solar eclipse lady by her neighbors these days in Madras, Oregon, working with the town to plan for the total solar eclipse happening August 21st. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And if you want more information on visiting Madras, Oregon, we'll tweet out a link right now.